tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, once again, and I think I might have given you a hint, again I'm in the blessed company of our esteemed colleague Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Jazakallah Sayyidi, and I appreciate your participation in the program. And now we are discussing the topic today, which is very relevant to all of us, right? Every one of us, our viewers out there, no matter which country or where you are staying or what's your financial state of things, but here it actually directly deals with our health. And health is one of the most important things.
Yes.
Healthy diet, inshallah. Our topic of today is healthy diet and how we can maintain a healthy diet for a healthy lifestyle, inshallah, azza wa jal.
Inshallah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of you in good health and iman. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Before that, let's inshallah azza wa jal sayyidi, first and foremost, recite salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who would have recited the most durood upon me. Without further ado, let's recite together to gain the closeness of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad
sallallahu
alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. When it comes to health, this is a way we tend to neglect our health, and everybody is running in this rat race of life.
Right.
People are on a general basis chasing money, and in that this rat race, they don't even stop to think and take care of their health, and health gets compromised, and this is the last thing they would look at. And for example, if you are in your youth, you don't have much to worry about.
Right.
But as you slowly get to the middle age, you start to feel your health deteriorating. Each and everything starts to affect you physically. And then you begin to think, okay, I need to take my health seriously. But had we taken care of our health from the word go, from our prime youth, it wouldn't have come to that.
Yes.
Allahu Akbar. So yes, there are many measures that we could take to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Today, we neglect our health to earn the money. Tomorrow, when we have enough money, we are spending the same money to take care of our health that we have neglected. So it's, why does it have to come to that? That we neglect one thing to go after the other.
Allah.
We can maintain a balance between our work life, health life, family yes. life, spiritual health, mental health, physical health, subhanAllah. And keeping a healthy diet is crucial. We cannot, have lean muscles that supports our body if we are eating fatty food on a daily basis. It just doesn't work that
right.
way.
Right, it wouldn't go hand in hand.
Yes. So what goes in, that's what comes out. For example, it's like saying that, you know what, I'm going to sit at home and expect for the money to pour in my bank account. Is this realistic
doesn't expectation? Make sense at all.
It doesn't make sense. Similarly, you are leading a sedentary lifestyle. Your diet is unhealthy. And at the end, you expect that you must become healthy just overnight, instantly. It doesn't work like that with the click of a finger. So if we want to remain healthy, then yes, we need to make changes in our diet. We need to watch what we eat, like how when we watch whether we are eating halal or haram. Yes, we are abstaining from all the haram, so that takes care of our spiritual health if we are eating halal. Inshallah, azza wa jal, there is barakah in our life.
Yes.
We eat halal.
And you know, Mahasab, what's also important to note is that health is something that some people generally take for granted and don't worry too much about their health. And this is, you know, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the summary of the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that people do not value, you know, their free time and their health. And this is so true that we see nowadays where one doesn't tend to worry about their health. Okay, except for some people out there who will have this concern for their health, for their well-being. But others out there, you know, they wouldn't pay much attention to their health. And they say, you know, you are what you eat.
Yes.
That's the saying, you are what you eat.
No, that's very
and
true.
And our stomach, Masab, our stomach is the most important part in our body. Because whatever we eat, whatever we drink, whatever we are putting inside, that is what's going right into our stomach. Yes. And our stomach also has this function to digest food. Now imagine just filling it one way and not worrying, being careless, as long as it's going down, I'm okay. Such, you know, this type of a behavior, you know, overeating, eating a lot, this itself causes so much harm because now you are overburdening your stomach. And when that happens, that's where you find diseases coming about because that's where it stems from. That's why experts will say that, you know, if you must keep your stomach lining, your stomach gut, these must be kept clean. So how do you keep them clean? And that is by eating those foods which contain fiber, you know, which are high in fiber. A person who eats these kind of foods, for example, grain, you know, all of these contain fiber. A person eating this would strengthen his stomach lining and his stomach gut. His stomach would be strong. But then again, when overeating comes in, then you get diseases like obesity. And yes. Obesity, you know, is such, we see with so many people having this out there. Obesity, how? Because of not worrying what they are drinking, what they are eating, so many cold drinks, soda drinks, fizzy drinks out there, and you know, some people are just drinking it one way down. All of this is causing harm to one's own health. And this health of ours that we have, we have to understand and realize that this health of ours is a trust that is given to us. We have to take care of it. Yes. We can't abuse it. We have to use it in the correct way. Because at the same time, we have to eat. We have to drink. And by doing that, it gives us the strength to perform worship, to do more and more good deeds. Why? Because we are fueling our body with the right amount of energy. And that's what's giving us that drive to do more and more good. And that comes to what? To eating healthy, to having a healthy diet. Because that also has an impact, you know, whether a person is lazy or not lazy.
Yes.
A person who eats a whole lot of unhealthy food, then after the person is done, he will just lay there and then can't move after that. Can't move anyway because I'm stuck. I ate so much of food that I can't move. But on the other hand, you get a healthy person. And a person who's health conscious will know that overeating isn't good for one's health. Eating, you know, a full plate or filling oneself isn't good. But eating in proportions, drinking in proportions, maintaining that balance, then such a person won't be feeling lazy. Rather, he will be feeling rejuvenated. He will be feeling active. Why? Because he is getting good fuel and energy into his body.
Subhanallah. Yes, there is something called clean energy.
Subhanallah.
And if we eat foods that are healthy, we'll be getting healthy energy, energy that will support our lifestyle. But 100%. If we are eating, our diet is anything goes, you know, samosa, bhajia, pakoras, and all these oily foods, once in a while, yes. But to make it your staple diet, that's not an option. Likewise, eating over the limit. You know, some live to eat. Sadly, that's the reality. Gluttony is nowadays, it is encouraged. Gluttony is encouraged. Now you have certain shows where on social media, there is a competition. How much can you eat? You know, the person who eats the most wins.
And it's considered as an entertainment, a form of entertainment.
Yes, and the guys, they show superiority on the basis of how much they can eat.
Allah.
Ma'azallah. And this is totally in contradiction to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith, we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ate to his full. And he would retract his hand before his stomach would be full. And he taught that at least then he proportionately, he mentioned that if you didn't get it right, then at least he then provided another guideline that keep three portions. One portion for food, one for the water, and one for air.
Subhanallah. Look at that balance.
Subhanallah. So yes, this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us to survive on a little. And then he said that few morsels of food is enough to keep the back of the children of Sayyidina Adam al-Islam straight.
Subhanallah.
So why eat more than what can support our body? We eat extra, that's harmful. That is detriment to our health. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that value five before five. We need to value five things before five. One of those five things he mentions, value your health before illness. When we have the health, we don't value it. Only when we are sick and suffering, then we realize, now we're making dua, oh Allah, take this illness away from me. But when we were healthy, we didn't worry about it. We continued eating unhealthy junk food. But when we got sick, we are now making all sorts of changes in our diet. Doctor says, don't eat this. We don't question the doctor. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Refrain from this. And we will treat that thing like plague. But before that, maybe that could have been your source, only source of food, default.
Yeah.
Right? So yes, this is the way we tend to learn sometimes. We learn by example. Something has to happen. Something has to go wrong for us to learn that it shouldn't have
and
to come to that.
And then only we change.
Yes. And then once a person gets healthy, then back to the same lifestyle. I'm healthy now. I can go back to the same lifestyle until he falls sick again, then goes to the doctor again. And some people take the doctor's treatment.
Right.
As if the doctor is going to perform some miracle.
Half like that the treatment, is the only cure.
Yes. Half the treatment is in abstination. Is remaining abstinent from those things that are harmful to you. Why is it so hard to get?
Yes.
So the doctor told you not to eat that. He didn't only say for that time being, because that is detriment to your health. Your blood type or your body type doesn't support that kind of diet. And for each one, it's different. But there are certain diets which go across the board as healthy diets, subhanAllah, vegetables, consumption of vegetables, salads, and dry fruit, peanuts, for example, milk, and legumes, lentils.
SubhanAllah.
These are the sunnah foods, subhanAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would eat these kind of foods. Meat, yes, it is healthy, but all in moderation. Sometimes
not too much.
Yes, sometimes the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would eat cucumber. Why? Because it has cool effect. Look at how he would teach us to alter our diets to the different kind of weather that we are experiencing. Because outside temperature and outside weather also affects our body. That's how you catch a cold. That's how you get a heat stroke. So all of this needs to be taken into consideration. And if we were just to look at the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he would eat, how he would encourage others to eat, what were his favorite foods, subhanAllah, one beautiful sunnah is the favorite food of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is dubba. And it is translated as bottle gourd or loki or calabash, as we call it in South Africa. So bottle gourd or calabash is that green vegetable, and it is cylindrical shape.
Right.
And it actually looks like a bottle. It's a little bit curvy, but it does look like a bottle. So it is long, maybe one hand length. Sometimes it can be longer. Depends as to how much grown it is. how what species it belongs to. So alhamdulillah, and this is the favorite food of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, and he says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating, and he would pick that up, meaning it was presented with meat. He was leaving the meat and was picking up all the pieces of bottle gourd or calabash from the plate, and he was eating. He said, from that day, it became my favorite.
Subhanallah.
From there, I have developed the love of eating calabash or lauki, for example.
Subhanallah.
So we need to love that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam likes, and it has a very good effect on the health.
Yes.
And it cools down the stomach at the same time. It is vegetables, it doesn't have much fat. So there are some healthy fats as well, like for example the fats we derive from nuts. If we eat nuts,
right,
each nut contains a little bit of fat, but that fat is healthy. That's not trans fat. Trans fat is something else.
Right.
Then you have low density cholesterol, high density cholesterol. Some cholesterols are healthy, some are unhealthy, and the fried food that we eat, it is the unhealthy cholesterol deposits that sits in the arteries, blocking the blood flow to the arteries, and as a result, a person has heart attack or stroke, for example. So these are the things that we need to look out for. Do a blood test every year. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami encourages us to do a blood test once a year. So these are silent killers. You will never know that you have high cholesterol levels, that you have high diabetes levels in your blood, your blood sugar level. There's no way to just externally diagnose it until you do a blood test and then you get a reading.
You know, Mansoor, even if someone's eyesight or vision is weak, there are even some vegetables that improve one's eyesight. For example, carrot. Carrot is something that improves a person's eyesight. And in today's time and age that we are living in, especially with the young ones, you know, with the kids and the teenagers, we see because of, you know, social media being so widespread, we see almost every second child is glued to the phone and just scrolling on the media. And that is actually, in the long term, is affecting their eyes. And you know, from that young age, when you know everything is just growing, it's grooming, and at that young age, they are glued to the screen of the phone for hours and hours on end. First of all, their eyes are getting harmed, and then second of all, at times, most of the time, they are inside, they don't want to go outside. Inside, in closed doors. And that in itself is unhealthy. You know, for one's health to be in a closed room, it's unhealthy because of the bacteria and germs that are circulating around in that closed room.
Mm.
That's why, you know, it's important, especially for our young ones and for the children, that they, and for us as well, for adults too, for them to go outside in the yard and get that sunlight, you know, because that sunlight, when it hits on them, it's rich also in vitamin D. And this is important, especially for the hair growth of a person or for the skin of a person. And open air, to get this open air, to get this fresh air, this is something, you know, that kills off the bacteria, because now you are in the open. So it's important that we eat these kinds of vegetables, these kind of fruits. As they say, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And, you know, no one really likes to go and visit the doctor. So if we don't want to get to that stage, then we need to take those steps which are necessary for us, in order for us to uphold our health and our well-being. There are so many benefits in eating apples, in watermelon. Watermelon is so cooling, and so many other fruits and vegetables out there that are beneficial for a person. So the choice basically, Mahasab, is, you know, it is up to us what we want to do, what we want to put in our body. Because if we, you know, we don't want to be suffering from heartburn or from heartaches or from chest burn or from reflux and all of these things, all of these diseases and illnesses, we don't want them. Gassy stomach and only burping one way. How does this all occur? All of this occurs by not seeing what one is eating, whether it is healthy for me or unhealthy for me. So we need to keep ourselves healthy. Imagine a person eating so much every day throughout his life, his habitual of just eating and eating and eating. And then when such a person goes towards the masjid for salah, in while standing for salah, you would see some people burping. And how does this occur? Because of eating so much of food, drinking those cool drinks at the dining table, all of this creates gas. And when a person burps, then that smell is unpleasant, especially in the masjid. And to for any unpleasant scent or smell to be in the masjid is not allowed, you know. So that's why it's important that we keep ourselves healthy, because what we put inside,
yes,
it reflects on our skin, it shows the condition of our skin, and it portrays on the outside. So if we want good skin, if we want good vision, then we need to eat those things which are healthy and brings to us benefit as well.
Yes. And at the same time, Sayyidi, when it comes to vitamins, these vegetables that you have mentioned, mm-hmm, they are full of vitamins. For example, carrot you've mentioned, it's got, mm-hmm, vitamin A in a very good quantity. For example, potatoes we eat, it is good for the skin because it has vitamin E.
Right.
It is good for the skin. Vitamin D, there are many sources of vitamin D as well. Vitamin B12 that can be obtained from the meat. And in vitamin D, the main source of it is the sunlight, subhanAllah. If you have deficiency in vitamin D and you are some, maybe some people, they have allergy or going in the sun, they don't like the sun to burn the skin, and they are very, very sensitive to sunlight, mm-hmm, perhaps, you know, and they don't want to look dark or anything. But sunlight is good for you.
It's
at least
good,
10 minutes a day. We need to be in the sun for at least 10 minutes a day.
Especially in the morning part.
Yes, in the morning part when there's it's like a sweet spot.
Yes.
So, and that sunlight for 10 minutes, if you remain in the sun for more than 10 minutes, then the chances of the sun burning your skin, the ultraviolet rays and so on, the chances are high. But less than 10 minutes or up to 10 minutes is fine. It doesn't burn your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are conscious about your skin being burnt in the sun or anything, 10 minutes won't do any harm. So it is actually good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 10 minutes, we can actually get some sunlight.
Absolutely.
There are places in the world where people wish they could get sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
They treat it like a festival the day they get some sunlight.
Allah.
SubhanAllah. Those places that are covered in snow, you know, they look forward to getting sunlight. For example, in the UK, the sun doesn't, they don't see the sun for days.
Mm-hmm.
There are occasions when the sun would come and they would be all joyous, all out,
Allah,
getting the sunlight, SubhanAllah. So yes, and we are fortunate enough in South Africa, in Pakistan,
mm-hmm,
India, and many other countries where we get sun almost every day.
Alhamdulillah.
And we don't take it into consideration, but you know, this is a ni'mat, SubhanAllah. Many people wish that they could have it. So yes, these are the things that we need to take into consideration. Vitamin B12, if we eat meat in sufficient quantity, then inshallah, that also takes care of that. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I saw the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eating dates with cucumber.
SubhanAllah.
That's also a beautiful way of mixing the food together,
yes,
and having it. Like you would balance the heat or the effects of the dates by mixing with cucumbers, SubhanAllah. Cucumber has a cool effect. Over 90% of the cucumber is water.
SubhanAllah.
So yes, it is very good for the health. There's enough fibers in there. And fish and fruits, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ate. And fish, you know how healthy fish is,
yes,
for people. Some of us, we don't like to eat fish. But it is actually healthy.
And
for us,
something that should be in one's diet.
Yes. Especially in winter. You need to have fish every now and again, especially in winter. If you don't like it, have it as, you know, like a need for your body, something your body needs, subhanAllah, because this is sunnah diet at the same time. It takes care of many things. Eating fish removes many deficiencies in the body. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to eating fruits, he would eat dates. He would especially like ajwa dates, subhanAllah. Meaning, it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would also like to eat grapes.
Subhanallah.
And these are the seasonal fruits. And these are the fruits that are found all over the world. These are not certain fruits that is only found here in South Africa. You won't find it in other places like UK or Europe or the US or Australia. You find it everywhere, alhamdulillah. And Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that I went to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I saw that he was eating grapes. MashaAllah. And Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala said that another beautiful diet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to eat watermelon. And he said he would eat melon with fresh dates and would say that the cold effect of melon will eliminate the hot effects of the dates.
SubhanAllah.
He would balance his diet in this way. And then fruit of pilu, Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that while we were picking pilu, walking along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pick the pilus which have turned black because they are very tasty. When I would graze goats, I would eat it.
SubhanAllah.
It reminded him of his beautiful childhood, subhanAllah. So melon that was mentioned previously, and then now here specifically the hadith mentions melons, watermelons, where he further says that he also ate pomegranates and mulberries as well.
Allah.
SubhanAllah. Mulberries, we have mulberry tree in our premises, mashallah. So every now and then I will go and pick one, two mulberries, because from childhood I'm used to eating it. And mashallah, we also learn in the environment of Dawat Islami all the foods that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would like to eat. So nowadays mulberries, they grow wild. I mean, if you have, you don't have to take much care of it. You know, it's not a fussy plant. It just grows. And mulberries, sometimes you'll see lying on the ground, nobody wants to eat it. The tree is full of mulberries, nobody likes to eat it because it's not sold in the supermarkets.
Right.
Yes. But we need to know the value of sunnah foods. As, okay, this is something which Rasulullah used to like to eat. I mean, take the cue from Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interested in eating calabash pieces from the curry that he was presented with, Allahu Akbar, he said from that day it became my favorite. So why shouldn't these fruits such as pomegranates, mulberries become our favorites, subhanAllah, that are the favorites of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Also, we see that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate, you know, the different foods that he ate, fruits and vegetables that he ate, you know, together with these fruits and vegetables having a good taste, they also have a lot of medical benefits. You know, like how you've mentioned some of them, they also have a lot of medical benefits. So we, you know, alhamdulillah, we are believers and we are followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should also eat those foods, those fruits, those vegetables which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had eaten. Because whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had eaten, that is also good for us. You know, if you want to keep ourselves healthy, which better guideline to follow than the guideline of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And together with all of that, one very important aspect I think, well, most people would miss out on, and that is drinking sufficient amounts of water during the day. You know, tea is something that has a lot of caffeine and it's something that dehydrates you. That is why, you know, experts, they say that before having a cup of tea, have water before that. Likewise, before you eat, have water before you start eating.
Yes.
And drink water during your meals as well.
It causes, in some cases, Sayyidi, I've noticed that it causes, if you have hot beverage and then you feel like drinking water after that, and you drink water on top of that, It causes stomach ache.
Yes.
So it is actually harmful.
Absolutely harmful. And that's why it's so important that, you know, we keep ourselves hydrated by drinking enough water. And experts have mentioned that on average, for the entire day, a person should be drinking around 8 glasses of water. So how many of us are really drinking this amount of water every day? For example, let's assume it's a very hot day and everyone wants something to quench their thirst. The first thing, well, most people would go to is to buy maybe, you know, a juice or a cool drink or if a fizzy drink. But hardly, you wouldn't find someone so quick to say, okay, you know what, I want some nice cool water.
Yes.
And when these fizzy drinks, when a person drinks them, then it causes, you know, a lot of gas, as we've mentioned earlier. So if a person doesn't feel like having water, there are other alternatives, healthier alternatives actually. And that is, one can have lemon water. Lemon water is also tasty, and together with that, the lemon itself has benefits. And when one has lemon, then that person, the lemon removes all of the toxins and the impurities from inside the body. All those toxins which are bad, they all come out. Why? Because of the acid level that is in lemon.
Yes.
So to have lemon water is good. To have water with honey, that is also good. Warm water and honey, that is also good. So water must be our main priority, no matter what. Always have a yes. flask, have a bottle, and keep it with you. And whenever you get time, whenever you are feeling thirsty, the first option that must be in your hand must be that bottle of water, inshallah.
Inshallah. So, speaking of water, see, the favorite beverages of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what they were, actually he would love to drink water. It is mentioned that he would love to drink cold, fresh water. Subhanallah. And he would also like milk lassi, you know, a certain type of beverage that you make with a dairy product, with the milk. Or with the yogurt, you know, you dilute the yogurt with some other ingredients, and he would drink that sometimes, subhanAllah.
And milk is something, you know,
diluted
that has so
yogurt.
Much of calcium as well.
Yes.
And it strengthens the bones also.
SubhanAllah, and it cools the stomach lining. When you have, the acid reflux.
Like a chest
heartburn.
Yes.
Right. Acid reflux, heartburn. Why? Because the acid that is there, it is coming up and it is burning the stomach lining. That is when you have heartburn. You experience that. And that often happens when you have eaten a lot of oily food.
Mm.
Oil, that it makes it really bad. Oil mixed with spices and so on.
Mm.
So that causes bad heartburn. And I've noted in my experience, it's either the dahi or yogurt.
Right.
Or the yogurt drink that is lassi, known as lassi, that can calm your stomach down.
It cools it down.
Yes. Or a drink hot milk. That also helps sometimes. So yes, there's a different, alhamdulillah, diets that was loved by Rasulullah sallallahu. You mentioned, Sayyidi, lemon water. Actually, my doctor, he told me that to lose weight, you must have lemon water every morning.
Mm. What a beautiful way, you know, for those who want
for weight
to
loss.
Weight.
Yes, for weight loss, it is very effective, subhanAllah. So yes, these are the things that were favorite beverages of Rasulullah sallallahu. They weren't branded beverages of some fizzy drinks and packed nicely in bottles with attractive labels attached to them. Right? If you break it down to the ingredient level, you find it is filled with sugar. It is filled with unhealthy stuff. There are things that you don't even know what you're having. E620, these are the ingredients.
Right.
These are codes. They're not even ingredients. They refer to something else. Unless you go and research on the internet and try to find out what are these ingredients.
Right.
Then all you get to know, they mix it day in day. Allahu Akbar. And sometimes they can be very vague about things. Companies, sometimes dodgy companies you get, and they're not really conscious about your health. They're only after your wallet, they're not after your health.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to really protect your health and have a solid diet, then we need to start reading the labels now. Ingredients, what ingredients it has, whether it has some ingredient that compromises its effect on the body, and what are the nutritional values. Each and almost all the products, they come, if they are prepackaged, they come with their nutritional values. They come with warning signs, you know, allergens, you know. It may contain soya or milk. Some people are lactose intolerant. So all of this, it plays a major role. They are there for a reason. We only look at the label, the flavor. We don't look at all the ingredients that go into it. Flavors that are there, they're not even the real flavors. Something can say maybe it's a strawberry flavor. There's not even a trace of strawberry in there. It is all artificial flavors.
Nothing was real.
Yes, induced with chemicals. Sometimes they may tell you, okay, it has a certain, you know, it is real juice.
Right.
It is real juice, yes, but it's half alive. Because there's a lot of sugar mixed in it. It's not real juice.
Oh, okay.
So these are the things that they catch you with. But if we start to read the labels and nutritional properties of the food items that we consume, now we don't have to now go full on with that.
Gee.
But just to be cautious about what we are eating, what we are putting in our body, and how it negatively impacts us. So we can be, you know, safeguarded against the harmful effects before it happens.
Yeah, and this is so important, Musa, because, you know, what we put down, at times it can even cause illnesses and diseases, you know, that are related to one's skin. And if something unhealthy or harmful to our body, if we eat that or drink that and it affects with our blood, then that can be, you know, a possible means of a person getting skin diseases like eczema, for example. Eczema, you know, it's caused because of the blood because of the blood being affected with the kinds of unhealthy foods and drinks that a person has. And when that happens, then you see it's coming on top of the skin. That eczema will start, that rash will start off small, and then it will carry on expanding and expanding. Why? Because the blood is not getting cleaned. And it's so important to keep the blood clean. That's why, you know, beetroot, to have beetroot juice is very, very good for a person's health, because this is something that purifies a person's blood. And when that happens, then so slowly, for example, we mentioned that the skin disease of eczema, for example, when the blood is purified from the inside, then that eczema, that rash, it will slowly go away.
Yes.
But if the blood is not purified, and no matter which creams a person may be using on the top to apply on the skin or on that eczema spot, it won't come right. Why? Because the diet is all off. The diet is unhealthy. The blood is not right. That is why the skin doesn't want to come right. In order for that to come right, one has to purify their blood. And how does one purify their blood? One way is through drinking beetroot juice. And that is so healthy, so refreshing at the same time.
No, natural things, organic things, there's no match for that.
It's always the best.
Yes, organic is always the best. Let's say we have eggs. Eggs sometimes can be, you know, nowadays you don't know the poultry farms, how they are being fed, the grains they feed them. Sometimes it's very unhealthy the way that the eggs are produced.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are left, the lights be on, and day and night they are eating. And it's now, that's how the eggs are produced. Now, for example, sometimes they are eating good diet. The animals themselves, the chicken themselves, they are having a good diet, fed grains, proper grains. Sometimes they are given things that we don't even know what they are fed, and they are nurtured on that. But at times, you also get chickens that roam freely, you know, free range. Yes, free range. And their eggs, if you have boiled the eggs, normal eggs that you get from the markets, and the free range eggs,
right,
that are laid by the chickens, there's a world of difference in the color, in the texture, in the in the taste, and even the nutritional values are highly enhanced when it's free-range eggs, meaning they are not forcefully fed, and then they forcefully, you know, they are made to produce more and more eggs. Allahu Akbar. So all of this, you know, organic food is expensive. See? Organic food is very expensive. Compared to normal food, let's say, for example, if you are going to buy vegetables that are mass-produced and there are chemicals used to increase the production of the food. Genetically engineered seed samples are used by the companies for their maximum profit. Right? And on the other hand, you have things that grow naturally. It takes long. It may grow in little quantity, but it grows naturally.
Quality is there.
Yes, quality is there because there is no match for natural. Natural diet, natural food, organic food that we receive. And sometimes you will see those things, they are maybe twice as expensive as the normal mass-produced goods that we buy.
Right.
So that's the difference. Willing to pay the price, then we should go for that which is more suited for our health. Because if we look at short-term benefits, then we are incurring long-term losses. Why? Because if it's not ideal food, not those nutrients are not found there that we were expecting when we were buying the food, and it will negatively affect our health. It will affect our health in such a way that the same money that we were trying to save, that few extra rupees or rand that we were trying to save, by not buying organic food, is the same money we are spending on our health when we get sick.
Allah. Okay.
So we need to make a choice whether we want to spend the money now so we don't have to suffer later and pay the same money anyway on our health. Or we want to have a healthy diet, pay extra. Right. Vegetable is more expensive than the meat at times. Now, what do you do? You stop eating vegetables? No. You stop eating fruits? No. You have it in little quantity, at least have it so you are taking care of your bodily needs. Subhanallah. Sayyidi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we were discussing different sunnah diets of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that like how we have our food and then we have, mashallah, our delicacies. Yes.
Sweet dishes.
Yes, the sweet dishes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also like his dessert and sweet dishes. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she has stated that kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuhibbul halwa wal asal. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would like sweet, meaning sweet meat, halwa. Right? Halwa, we all aware of the term halwa. But it's sweet. It's a kind of sweet, mashallah, naturally made. And he would like honey as well. MahanAllah. And both are, mashallah, honey, there's curing properties in it, mashallah. In Miratul Manajim, Mufti Ahmad Ya Khanaimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he has said that it is stated in a blessed hadith that a believer is sweet and he likes sweet.
Subhanallah.
Halwa includes every sweet thing. It even includes sweet drink and sweet fruits and normal sweets and as we call in urf, commonly known as halwa, that is also included. So it has a very broad meaning, halwa. And Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first who made our halwa that we currently have. He was the first to come up with the recipe, mashallah. And now the whole world follows the recipe and makes the halwa.
And
in South Africa, Suji halwa is quite famous. Yes. Gajar halwa, Dudi halwa, which is made with calabash, subhanallah, that is also quite famous. And I particularly liked the calabash halwa, which I never got anywhere else.
MashaAllah.
When I found it, okay, I said, what is it? He said, no, this is halwa made with loki, with bottle gourd or with the calabash, subhanAllah. I was so delighted. And it tastes so nice, mashaAllah. So, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was the first who made halwa, the traditional halwa that we know and we eat. So he made the halwa and presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was made from flour, from ghee, clarified butter, and honey.
Allah.
Subhanallah. We don't even make it that healthy. Allahu Akbar. We put sugar.
Yes.
We put honey. Subhanallah. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked it very much. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, there are many other sunnah diets of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which we'll discuss. But for now, Let's listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nasiha until we return. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Bula lo ya Rasulullah, bula lo ya Habiballah.
Raza kisi sage tayba ke paon bhi chume, raza کسی سگے طیبہ کے پاؤں بھی چومے کہ تم اور آہ کے اتنا دماغ لے کے چلے. پیارے اسلامی بھائیوں, مدینے کا سفر یہ عشق کا سفر ہے, دیوانگی کا سفر ہے. اللہ کریم یہ سفر عشق کے عالم میں نصیب فرمائے.
یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں. یا رب سوئے مدینہ, یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں.
ان کے سوا کسی کی دل میں نہ آرزو ہو, ان کے سوا کسی کی دل میں نہ آرزو ہو, ان کے سوا کسی کی دل میں نہ آرزو ہو, ان کے سوا کسی کی دل میں نہ آرزو ہو. دنیا کی ہر طلب سے بیگانہ بن کے جاؤں, دنیا کی ہر طلب سے بیگانہ بن کے جاؤں.
یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں. یا رب سوئے مدینہ, یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں.
بلا لو یا رسول اللہ, بلا لو یا حبیب اللہ. ہر گام ایک سجدہ, ہر گام یا حبیبی, ہر گام ایک سجدہ, ہر گام یا حبیبی, ہر گام ایک سجدہ, ہر گام یا حبیبی, ہر گام ایک سجدہ, ہر گام یا حبیبی. اس شان اس ادا کا مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شان اس ادا کا مستانہ بن کے جاؤں.
یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں. یا رب سوئے مدینہ, یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں.
لو یا رسول اللہ, بلا لو یا حبیب اللہ. لب پہ درود جاری, دل پر سرور تاری. 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 اپنی حقیقتوں کا افسانہ بن کے جاؤں, اپنی حقیقتوں کا افسانہ بن کے جاؤں.
یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں. یا رب سوئے مدینہ, یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں.
بلا لو یا رسول اللہ, بلا لو یا حبیب اللہ.
بہزاد اپنا عالم سمجھے گا کیا زمانہ, 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 ہے فہم کا تقاضا دیوانہ بن کے جاؤں, ہے فہم کا تقاضا دیوانہ بن کے جاؤں,
یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں, یا رب سوئے مدینہ, یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں, اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں.
Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports that once he was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara, and a man sought permission to come in. They were in a garden. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, open the door for him and give him glad tidings of paradise due to a calamity which he will face. When Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he said he did that. He went, and it was Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu an who was seeking permission to enter. And he said, I revealed this to him, news of a calamity, and also due to being patient, meaning due to his forbearance and his patience in facing that calamity, good news of paradise or glad tidings of paradise. He says the response of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an was that Allah is the helper. That was his simple response. Such was his modesty. He didn't say that, alhamdulillah, you know, I'm so lucky, I've been given glad tidings of paradise. Or he didn't go into any lengthy response. He simply said, Allah is the helper. And he was more focused on seeking or relying on the help and aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a moment of difficulty. That was his concern, and that was his acknowledgement that Allah is the helper, because Allah helps his creation to face when they're facing adversity, when they're facing difficulty, and it is ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us the strength to be patient so that we attain reward, and in the case of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu an, paradise.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam and nasiha, subhanallah. And now we are back to our topic of discussion, Sayyidi, and that was healthy diet. And we discussed many, subhanallah, of the diets of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just few to mention, few more, before we come to the conclusion, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also ate meat. He didn't only eat vegetables, fruits, nuts, and sweet dishes. He also had meat, eating the meat of camel, goat, ram, sheep, chicken, rabbit, quail, and fish has been proven from the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But amongst them, he would like to eat the meat of the front leg of goat the most. That was, subhanallah, a particular taste that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, and we should conform to that as well, because that would be the healthiest, subhanAllah, of the options. And in Arab, there is a dish, Sayyidi, that is cooked by mixing of clarified butter, cheese, and dates together, and it's called haiz. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would eagerly like to eat it.
SubhanAllah.
Vinegar also, subhanAllah, not only did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consume vinegar, but he declared it to be the best curry, and has also said, what a best curry is vinegar. SubhanAllah. And these are some of the diets that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has proven from his hadith that he ate, and he encouraged others to eat as well. Sayyidi, mashallah, we have come to right to the conclusion of our episode and program. Any last parting words, inshallah?
SubhanAllah, you know, we invest in so many things in this world, and one of the things that we need to prioritize on, that we need to invest on, is our health. because our health is something that, you know, that is priceless and cannot be gained through health. Health is something that wealth cannot even buy.
Yes.
So one should prioritize their health, value their health, and take care of their health as well, inshallah.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.